Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, welcome back. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Christmas is tomorrow, or Christmas Eve is at least. Thanks for bearing with me. I know we cranked out a ton of episodes last week, and then guess what? I got sick again. So here I am, feeling much better. And welcome again to This With Chris Show. I am your host, Chris Dokia, and today I'm talking about a topic that I just love to talk about. If you know me, if you've been in any social setting, I like to talk about cars. Not specifically traffic, right? The small talk around traffic or gas prices or, you know, transportation infrastructure. That's not what I like to talk about. I like to talk about cars. I like to buy them. I like to drive them. And look, this is a fair warning. This episode isn't a neutral ground. It's not quite balanced. It's not here to make everyone feel warm and fuzzy. This is something that I wanted to talk about. So it's honest. It's loud, a little bit loud, for sure. And it's passionate. Okay. For those of you that don't know, my dad was a mechanic for like, 40-something odd years. So I've always been around cars and I loved cars. So this episode is coming from someone who has always loved cars. Now, cars, I think, were my first obsession as a kid, you know, playing with cars and things like that. Always fell in love with exotic cars and you know, fast supercars and things like that. So I've been obsessed with them for as long as I can remember. And again, anyone that knows me could probably attest to that. So it wasn't just about collecting cars as a kid, and then as an adult, not just about driving them, but it was everything about them. I love sitting in them when they're not moving. I like to go to car shows. I love the smell of the car, leather and the fuel and the oil, and you know, I just love the gadgets and the dashboards and the gauges and the steering wheels and the rims. I mean, I can go on and on. There's just things about cars that just make it that much more fun to enjoy. So some kids wanted toys. I wanted posters and brochures of cars. I remember going to dealerships with my parents or my dad and stuff, and I'd take those brochures and I'd look at them for hours. And you know, as the internet became a thing, I'd look at fast cars and sports cars and luxury cars and vintage cars and oddball cars, cars nobody else liked. I would, even today, I follow so many different Instagram and YouTube video channels and all around cars. I love cars that made or make really loud noises, or cars that like just vibrate when you vibrate when the car drives by you. I love cars that demand attention. Okay. Cars that don't just get you somewhere, but they kind of sort of make the journey matter. Right. I think that the loud, obnoxious cars are, and that are completely unnecessary, I think those are the best kind. So those are that's my other love language, right? Like big, obnoxious vehicles. My last Jeep, the Georgia Jeep, which was, a JKU. It was loud. It had this huge exhaust system on it. It was super aggressive. It had like a 3.5-inch lift, I think. It was too much, but it was perfect. Right. Not just, you know, not as an attention seeker. It was just like people roll up next to you and they think twice, right? Like about like cutting you off. And now my son and I are actually building our second Jeep, which is a 1998 TJ that my father-in-law gave us for Christmas last year. So we're building it, and guaranteed it will be even more unnecessary than the previous Jeep, right? It will be lifted. I think we're going to put a wide body kit on it. It's going to be angry. And that kind of vehicle, you know, it's built maybe for the apocalypse. We are watching Homestead right now, by the way. All right, on Angel Network. But somehow, you know, this Jeep is going to, you know, it's going to draw attention. So, hey, look, I love cars, especially cars that don't apologize for existing. Sorry, I'm still a little bit congested. Anyway, luxury cars get something that EVs, aka electric vehicles, never will, right? Luxury cars demand presence. A great luxury or vintage car has weight, right? They're made out of steel probably, but they also have weight from like emotionally and physically, right? There's history, there's sound, there's true craftsmanship, okay? You turn the key, not a button, and something wakes up. Right, the vehicle, the car wakes up, and there's something that it just feels alive. And I think one of my next hobby cars or something is going to be a vintage car, just because I want to have that, you know, no technology vehicle. And that brings me to the point where some of you are probably already annoyed with this episode, okay? So I'm going to talk about electric vehicles. So here we go. So let's talk about it, right? What's not to talk about? Let's specifically focus on the brand Tesla, okay? I'm a big fan of Elon Musk, by the way, but Tesla, right? And look, before anyone jumps me and jumps in emotionally, let me say this very clearly for all of you to hear. I have a lot of family and friends who own Teslas and all electric types of vehicles, okay? People that I love and people that I respect. I am also going to say I have never once, I've refused to ride in a Tesla. I've never sat in a Tesla, never driven a Tesla. I just refuse to. It goes against my core belief in everything about cars, right? And you know what? You know what? I'm just here to say no one is going to change my mind. Nobody. Nobody will be able to change my mind. We've even looked at Teslas, right? My wife is like, no, I don't want a Tesla. And I agree. I'm sorry, but to me, almost all electric vehicles, and especially Teslas, to me, are ugly. Okay? Ugly. They look kind of like a mouse designed a car. Everything is rounded, smoothed, and muted. Except for the Tesla Cybertruck that looks like a big old garbage can. No offense to the people that I know that own Tesla trucks or Cybertrucks. But these cars, these Teslas, have no aggression. They have no tension and no edge. They don't look fast. They look compliant. And granted, these Teslas are super fast. Okay. But they look boring. And when people say, but it's fast, right? My response is always the same. So is a microwave. Microwaves are fast. They cook food really fast. They're practical, right? And to me, electric removes the experience. And, you know, I drive a Corvette, right? And, you know, it's a couple of hundred horsepower or whatever. But there's a E-Ray Corvette that's super fast, but it's electric. So who cares? The real issue to me is electric vehicles remove the true experience of driving. And I get it, like, oh, self-drive or handless driving or, you know, automated, whatever they call it, right? But they don't have, so that's cool, I guess, if you're into that. They have no engine note, no gears, no crescendo, no drama. And just by the way, for the self-automated vehicles that are driving, like the Waymos that went out of business on this past weekend in San Francisco because of a power outage, that's what you have to look forward to. Okay, so anyway, look, in a real car, you press the pedal and whoosh, instant speed, right? And so more so in an electric car, and that's super cool for about 5 minutes. Speed without sound is like a movie without music, right? It's super muted and boring, like fireworks without any sound, or a roller coaster that doesn't like do that little click, 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 click before you get to the very top and then you drop, right? Doesn't bode well with me. Cars are supposed to engage your senses, right? And EVs, let's face it, they numb your senses. And I've heard the argument about, you know, the positive environmental impact of EVs. And let's get into that, right? Where, you know, I'm sure a lot of you are going to get uncomfortable with what I'm about to say, and so either tune off or hear me out, right? You know, people tell me, it's like, oh, Chris, you hate EVs because you don't care about the environment. Okay, maybe. No, I'm just kidding. That's not true. That's false. That is false. It's not that I don't care about the environment, you guys. I care deeply. I just don't accept marketing disguised as morality. And I'm a career marketer, so I kind of see through some of this marketing, okay? Because EVs are not actually better for the environment in the way people think. If you drive an EV and you're going to make the statement to any non-EV loving person like me, I would suggest not using the it's better for the environment statement, okay? Because it's just better for optics is what, you know, EVs really stand to gain. It's optics. It's all optics. The battery problem is an issue, right? So let's talk about the batteries, okay? Lithium, okay? What other types of batteries do they use? Cobalt, they use nickel. That's what these batteries are made out of, right? Rare earth minerals as well. And again, these don't magically appear from the sky, okay? These materials, they come from humongous, massive, incredibly intense mining operations. While many of them are overseas, so maybe, okay, you know what? The environmental impact in the United States is a little better, maybe, I don't know. But you're talking about climate change and all this other stuff. Look, that mining destroys entire ecosystems. A lot of them use child labor. And there are reports out there that you can read that will back that up, okay? They consume insane amounts of water. They create toxic waste runoff. You don't eliminate environmental harm, you guys, right? What we've done here is we've outsourced it. Point blank. Okay, and that is the dirty truth about, you know, about clean energy, okay? So again, you're claiming that it's better for the environment. Okay, whatever. But, you know, counter, you're talking about gas vehicles and we're doing the same. True. But are you making it better or worse? And only time will tell, right? Now, here's the part that really gets skipped. Most EVs are charged using electricity. Okay, generated by what? Coal? I mean, it's and natural gases or natural gas. I don't know that there's multiple, but and oh, by the way, oil. Yeah, the oil that you are, you know, somehow protesting in with the purchase of an electric vehicle is also using oil to charge your car. So unless you're charging exclusively from solar, which almost no one is, I think there are some, none of the people that I know that own one are, your zero emission vehicle is still powered by fossil fuels. Ding, 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 ding. Okay. The emissions just happen somewhere else. Okay. It's out of sight. It's maybe out of mind for you, but it's not happening. Okay, as much as you like to think about the fact that you feel that you're environmentally friendly now, you're not. Manufacturing EVs is actually, and there are study data, EVs have been around long enough now where it is data to support that it is more polluting than the gasoline that you put in a regular car. EVs require significantly more energy to manufacture than gas vehicles. All right, especially those batteries. And in many cases, it takes years of driving before an EV's total environmental footprint can begin to offset the damage done during production. So, you know, unless you're driving that same EV for maybe, I don't know, I'm arbitrary number here, 7 years or whatever it might be, that's when you enter the positive state. And very small wins, you guys, okay? And that's also assuming that the batteries last. And granted, the batteries are lasting longer today. But if you were early in on this fad, then you haven't made an impact at all because your batteries didn't last very long. The cars, you know, if the car isn't replaced early, then maybe you help. The materials are recycled properly, which, you know, that's a pretty big assumption. All of these are big assumptions that a car owner is going to keep the same vehicle for, I don't know, 10 plus years, and the battery's going to last just as long. Okay. And then there's been a lot of battery disposals. There's actually, I saw an image or video of a Tesla battery dumping ground. Okay. It's crazy. Gas engines can be rebuilt, refurbished, and reused. However, EV batteries, they're super, super heavy. They're incredibly toxic. And they're extremely difficult to recycle. So they just end up in a landfill where engines are typically refurbished, okay? Many of these landfills are, you know, these batteries are shipped overseas. So again, pollution didn't disappear for you or us. All we did was move it to another country. So as much as you might be ranting and raving about climate change and this and that, also think about human rights, putting toxic stuff in someone else's country and all this other stuff. EVs have become a political accessory, let's face it. And here's where culture has collided with cars. For a long time, driving a Tesla wasn't just about driving a vehicle. It was sort of a statement. And I know people, family, friends, or whatever, that bought a Tesla because, or any old electric vehicle, but specifically a Tesla, to make a statement. And to many on the left, it felt like a rolling symbol of progress, a subtle, sometimes not so subtle, jab at you know, the conservatives. Okay, and you'd often hear people say, "Hey, I'm doing my part. I care about the world and climate change, yada, yada, yada," right? And then something pretty incredible happened, okay? In 2024, Elon Musk showed everyone the truth, okay? And he kind of broke a spell and this myth that existed that he was, you know, trying to change the world for climate change or for some political statement. But in 2024, when Elon leaned into MAGA, right, dark MAGA, and then Doge, and the chaos, and then, you know, earlier than that, when he took over X and gave people back their freedom of speech, people suddenly realized something shocking, that Elon Musk and corporations really don't care about your politics, okay? The cars didn't change, the factories didn't change, the batteries didn't change, but guess what did? The vibe, right? The vibe changed. And this is kind of the reason why this episode I even thought about writing, you know, talking about these points, was because I've seen people that are suddenly conflicted, okay? Because the car that they're driving, the i.e. Tesla, does now no longer represent their political agenda. You saw Tesla owners setting their cars on fire, people setting other people's Teslas on fire because they didn't like Elon Musk. I saw a video the other day of this little lady in Beverly Hills walking down the street and then start shooting at a Tesla because she didn't like Elon, right? So, man, maybe it was like a week or two ago, I was driving to the office, right? And I'm getting onto the highway and I see a Tesla in front of me. Whatever. There's a lot here in Dallas. But on the back of this Tesla is a bumper sticker, okay? And the bumper sticker says, Anti-Elon Musk Tesla Club. And I laughed. I was listening to a podcast or whatever, and I just stopped. I just had to take it in because it was funny. Imagine hating this guy, Elon Musk, but still driving around his product and thinking that this bumper sticker absolves you. That's not activism, right? That's branding anxiety. Okay. I've done an episode previously about vegans. Not, again, I feel about vegans like I feel about EV. I don't hate them. It's just interesting. And so I have to say this, right? EV owners, to me, again, this is my personal opinion, are the vegans of the automotive world. And let me break down why I said that, right? Because I know you didn't ask, but they didn't ask you either. Just like vegans, right? You didn't ask if they're vegan, but they told you anyway. That's what I mean. They don't just drive electric. They preach electric. They say to you things like, and unwarranted and unprovoked, listen, once you understand it, you will love it. You will love it. You will love having an EV. You'll never go back. Once you go EV, you never go back. Or however that statement goes. things like, they'll say things like, look, it's actually better for you. It's so amazing. Oh my God, I have not had an oil change in like ever. Okay, good for you. Good for you. Look, I don't want my car to be a moral lecture. Okay, I take my car to car shows and I like to talk about my car to people, right? But I want it to be fun, okay? I do it because I have a sports car and I like to talk about cars. But I'm not going to give you a moral lecture on climate change and make everything so politically driven, okay? Cars should ultimately make you feel alive because they are emotional and they are freedom, okay? They're full of memories. I've never owned a car that I don't have a memory with, okay? They're family road trips, or they're late night drives, or they go into the car show with your kid. They're turning around, like, it's about, like, turning around to look at your car after you park, right? You know, like that Hallmark lovey-dovey movie scene where you look back at the person you're walking away from, like that, right? No one parks a Tesla that I know of that looks back. They just walk away quietly, right? Silently. Almost a walk of shame. Just saying. Anyway, I know a lot of you are going to be really ticked off that I did a whole episode about my personal feelings and how I... Again, I'm not talking about everyone. I'm not telling everyone to go judge other people driving EVs, but this is how I feel about EVs. Because I'm not about hating the future, okay? I'm not anti-technology. I'm not anti-progress. I'm not anti... But I am. I am anti-soulless solutions that are sold as virtue through marketing, okay? Because... To me, cars were never broken. In fact, cars continue to evolve. Gas cars get faster and more efficient, and I mean, just amazing. Okay, because I think also fixing things that aren't broken usually ruins them. Okay, so to wrap things up, and I've gone on this diatribe, and I meant to because of that bumper sticker that made me think about this. Okay, so to wrap things up, yeah, I love fast cars. I love loud cars. I love luxury cars and vintage cars and big cars and obnoxious Jeeps and apocalypse vehicles and 6x6s. But you know what I don't love? I don't love EVs. I don't. Okay, you guys can drive them. Y'all can enjoy them if you can. And you guys can all pretend to save the planet one silent commute at a time, because your cars don't make any noise. Yeah, I guess you can have, I've heard you can download like sounds and stuff, but meanwhile, I'll be over here, right? Buying that and burning that premium fuel here in Texas that's like $2.80 or something right now, which is amazing. And I will listen to my engine breathe and I'll be smiling the entire way. And I'm completely okay with that. In fact, I enjoy it. I enjoy it. I saw a post on a local Facebook group the other day, and this lady was complaining. This guy had a Jeep that had a license plate that says 45, again, you know, Donald Trump, 45th president, and said, oh, he parked in front of the one EV charging station. And I commented, I was like, you know where you won't have that happen? You won't have that happen at the gas station when you're filling up on gas. If you drive a Tesla, and still listen to the end of this episode, mad respect to you guys. And as always, thank you for listening to This with Krish. Find us on Spotify and YouTube. And we'll be back with some new episodes after the Christmas holidays. So stay tuned. And again, as always, I love y'all.